Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, we are back with series 3 of the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast. I'm Steph, and I am currently very relieved that the kids are back at school and nursery after the Easter holidays. We're easing back into a routine, although I did just have a call from nursery to say that Frank has said he's feeling a bit under the weather, so they're just waiting to see how he is and take his temperature and stuff. So that may be some joy short-lived. Hopefully he's okay. It's just much easier to juggle everything when people are all in their correct places. We started to go a bit feral during the holidays, but I was very lucky. We actually got to go away over Easter, and I think not having been away for a couple of years properly, we'd kind of forgotten what holidaying with kids was like, and there were some gorgeous moments. Frank's now 4, so he was really excited about things. I think he'll remember bits of the holiday which he hasn't previously. We just bring chaos with us. I don't know if this is because there's 3 of them or if it's because of who we are. One child threw up on the plane on the way out. Another threw up on the way back. I can confirm that the paper sick bags really do work, which I'd never tested out before. But only if the child gets it into the bag. It doesn't work if they miss the entrance. But yeah, so that was nice for everyone sitting near us. I think probably, though, lots of people have got huge or put huge expectation on holidays and family gatherings and all the lovely things that we've missed in the last couple of years, and actually we maybe need to lower expectations for the next 6 months and just enjoy the moments, especially because there's so much going on in the world. And yeah, there's a lot. I do feel calmer having kind of stepped off the treadmill and just been with Doug and the kids, even if it wasn't all lying down in cocktails, which, to be honest, it hasn't been that for a very long time. So yeah, I'm going to hold on to those moments of calm. And my guest this week, someone who is flying through the rush hour herself, so it's Kate Lawler, who is a DJ, broadcaster, a huge force on Instagram, and she's been really honest about her first year of motherhood and how hard it was in her book Maybe Baby, which was published recently. And she's also obviously was the winner of Big Brother, I think 2002. 20 years. So we recorded this episode with Kate when she was having a particularly heavy week. The book had just gone live and her partner had COVID, and she actually ended up in hospital. So she talks us through what happened, and we also talk about becoming a mum, postnatal depression, stress, getting help when you're in that early phase, and also the impact of having a child on her relationship with Bodge, who she's marrying in just a few weeks. She describes the rush hour and sort of that trying to reach happiness and seeing it just in front of her, and just that there's so much to do and finding it impossible. And she actually told me that she just handed in her notice at Virgin, which she has now finished there. So it's a perfect fit for us on this podcast as we pick up with Kate. It's just, she's kind of flying through this rush hour, and you can hear how crackers her week was, but it's been really lovely to watch actually since we recorded this. And she's finished at Virgin, and I think she's able to enjoy her daughter more, which is what she really wanted to do. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. I really love speaking to her.
Good to see you again, babe.
How are you doing? You've been swimming already this morning. It's only 10:30.
I know. Her swimming lessons are like 9 a.m. on a Friday. So it's like up, milk, breakfast, get ready, go swimming. That's why I was a little bit late on, because I come home and I was like, I need something to eat before I do this podcast because I'm starving. So I just made myself some peanut butter and toast.
We don't want you fainting. And you've just had a crackers couple of weeks because your book's just come out. Are you all right? Is it like mad?
Crazy mad. I ended up in hospital on Wednesday or Tuesday. Yeah, because I thought I was having a bloody heart attack.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think I was. But when they were like, yeah, you need to call an ambulance. Basically, I woke up and my heart palpitations I've had on and off now for a couple of years. They're really annoying. If you've ever had them, it's really annoying because it feels like your heart's beating out of your chest. But they're normally just a nighttime thing. But now they're kind of like during the night. Anyway, I take CBD oil for them, which is really good and helping. However, last week, the Hansom got COVID. Noah was really poorly because she'd had her annual jabs, like four in one day. And then like a week later, she developed a temperature. She wouldn't eat. She got a rash. It all happened last week when Bodge got COVID and I was trying to...
Yeah, and your book came out. Bloody hell.
Oh my God. It was just like the week. It was just such a full on... And we couldn't have any... Normally we have like help from his mum. She does 2 days a week. And we have a babysitter once a week as well. But we couldn't have anyone over because Bodge had COVID. So I was trying to do that. Oh my word. It was so intense. And then I think that's why I was just a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd had a pain in my left arm radiating down from like all the way down my left arm.
Classic symptom of a heart attack.
I know, right? And then I woke up on Tuesday, but it was in both arms when I woke up.
Oh, God.
And I had the heart palpitations in the morning. And I was like, this is random. I don't normally get them in the morning. And I left the house, as I do every day, around 9:30, 10 it was, to walk the dogs and Noah. And as we were walking up the hill, up towards Ali Pali, like it's about a 50-meter walk. I hadn't been walking 5 minutes and I was like that. And I was like, why am I out of breath? And then my chest went really tight. So I sat down and drank some water.
Yeah.
And then I rung Bodge and he was like, just call the GP, just see if you can get into the doctors. And then I rung the GP and they were like, yeah, we can't see you till next Thursday. So I went online to 111 and it was like, call an ambulance now.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, I'm not calling an ambulance because that's just, I don't need an ambulance. But then like the heart palpitations didn't go away. My pain was just, it was weird that it was in both arms as well. Because I thought when it was in one arm, I just trapped a nerve or something.
Yeah.
So then I thought about it and then I rung Bodge and he was just like, I think you should just call an ambulance like it's told you to do.
Yeah.
And see what they say. So I did. I was like, hi, I've been on 111. It says call an ambulance, but I don't think I need an ambulance. Can you just confirm? And she was like, what are your symptoms? And I said, she was like, you need an ambulance. You need to make sure you're not having an
ambulance. That's on there. Yeah. Fine. They go through the tick box, don't they? And they go, no, that's ambulance, mate.
Yeah. That could be. Yeah.
Stress.
So then I was in hospital for 5 hours, but the guy reckons it's stress. He was like, look, I don't know how stressed your life is. Only you know how stressed you are, but you're fine. Your blood's, everything's come back normal. I don't think you're having a heart attack or a stroke. It sounds like it's stress to me.
Part of the podcast is about like the rush hour and this overwhelm that we're all in. And that's a lot that you had going on. And like, you didn't have your normal safety nets of someone's coming in to do that, but babysitting and someone's going, and you're doing even more because you're on bloody telly. And you're talking about trauma, like you're talking about postnatal depression, so maybe that, like reliving it as well, it's probably we could have almost probably predicted it was gonna be really, but it's so hard.
You're right yeah, I guess there's something about reliving it and like talking about what's in the book a lot in 1 week,
because
there was a lot of podcasts and live interviews, like TV, radio and stuff. I guess when you think, when you're like, right, let's think about how stressful the week's been or what's been happening. But also it feels like, I said to Bodge the other day, it feels like I am running towards the finish line, and the finish line is like I'm running a race and the finish line is my happiness, and I'm running towards that finish line. Like the finish line is a calm, happy place, but like all of these things are running up beside me and pulling me back and like stopping me from getting there. And they, all those things are like work, pressure of being a mum, pressure to keep the house, or like, do you know what I mean? All these things. So I feel like, and I was like, I feel like I'm never going to get there. But I've actually just handed my notes in. I'm leaving Virgin.
Have you? I heard you say that you were thinking of taking a career break.
Yes. And that is why I feel like this podcast is perfect to talk about it, because I have tried to do the juggle and do everything. And I really thought that because I do a million things at once, that I'd be okay just working at Virgin, writing the book, looking after Noah, trying to have, you know, be a girlfriend and like a mum to the dogs and doing all of this stuff, all the other little jobs I do. I try to do it all, but it's impossible. I found it impossible. And I think that's why I've become so stressed. And, you know, Bodge sent me, when I was in hospital, he sent me a link to the NHS website, which is, there's a segment under there for stress, and it's got physical symptoms, mental symptoms and behaviours. Yeah. And I swear, I tick every single one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, and so I know it's stress.
When you're a doer, right? I've heard you say you're a doer. So we go into overdrive, which almost makes it worse. But it's like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And then it takes something like, oh, I might be having a heart attack for you to go, oh, fuck, no, I can't actually do it all. And none of us can. Like, it's impossible.
Do you know what someone tweeted? I thought, fuck you. This tweet was ridiculous. Somebody actually tweeted that they'd got my book. Just saying, brilliant interview on Lorraine. I love your book. As a mum of a nearly 8-month-old, it's so refreshing for somebody to be so honest about how bloody hard it is. More conversations like this, please. It's really nice to get feedback like that because it makes me feel like, you know, I'm not the only person who's experienced this. And someone wrote, motherhood has been the same for everybody since time began, but suddenly it's become a phenomenon. Has society encouraged us to believe it's so difficult because it demands time and enduring patience? And people want everything without effort and then get a bloody shock? And I was like,
fuck off.
How can you say motherhood has been the same for everyone, like since time began? Like, it's just such a naive and ignorant like statement. And, you know, the person who initially said, thank you for your appearance on Lorraine, she put, I do not agree. Some mothers have trauma throughout pregnancy, labour and the newborn stage. This can severely change how hard it is to cope. Myself with a premature sick child, for example, including your own recovery from labour, be kind. And I sort of backed her up saying exactly, like, that's the one thing about motherhood. Every single person on the planet has a unique experience. And for some women, it's a positive experience. For some women, it's really, really traumatic and there's nothing positive about it at all. And for others, it's, you know, a mixture of the two.
But also, if you're meant to pretend that it's all great, then it's so dangerous. It's dangerous.
Yeah. And the thing is, with podcasts like this and, you know, I think with women being a lot more open on social media about the struggles and the trials and tribulations of motherhood, it's going to help so many women. But I think to myself, who was having these conversations before? Like, how did women cope before social media came along? Because in most books, it's more about, here's how you can be a great mum. Here's how you can get your baby to sleep. Here's how you can get your baby to eat. But there weren't, I couldn't find really many books on the possible, you know, how the possible feelings you might experience or what you might go through as a new mum, you know?
And it changes, I suppose, because a book written like 10 years ago would be different to what you might need 5-10 years on, because we're in a different world. Like, even when I had my first, so he's 11, I don't think I wasn't on Instagram. Like, it's changed. And I think actually it was easier that there wasn't as much knowledge. I mean, we did have the internet when I had him. So you could look stuff up. That was when like Mumsnet was really thriving, because it was, you know, there's chat rooms and being able to say stuff. But I didn't really know what other people were doing and how they were doing it. And that possibly made it easier. But I still tortured myself horribly.
You do. And look at women before there were even books. Like, when you think centuries ago, there was literally the milk from your breast and that's all you could give your baby before. Like, how can anyone say motherhood has been the same for everyone before time began? I mean, it's the most ludicrous. That's really stuck with me, that tweet. It's like, just so angered me.
It's really difficult because you've got that opinion's coming in. Like, it's a really uncertain time. You're a year in. It's still challenging. My own experience, it's still really challenging. They're still little, and then you've got people feeding you their opinion and advice, sometimes good, sometimes like there's too much, but just that constant noise from people must be exhausting.
Everyone warned me. Did you get that when you were first pregnant? Like, as soon as I announced my pregnancy, everyone said, prepare for everyone's advice, you're going to be overloaded and it's going to be really overwhelming. And I mean, parenting opinions are like arseholes. Everybody's got one. The thing is, a lot of it is belief based. So you kind of believe right, okay, that sounds like good advice. I'll try that. But what works for one person might not necessarily work for you. So a lot of advice can be good, but it can also feel really overwhelming when everyone's telling you to do something different or giving you a little bit of a, oh, do you do that? Oh, do you do it that way? Like, yeah, no, I don't.
Like,
need...
Oh, we didn't do it like that. And you're like,
ah, it's horrible. Didn't do it like...
And also, you don't know. You've got no idea because you've never done it before. And then if you do it with another kid again, they're different. So it's.
I don't want to feel horrible. I don't want to feel mean. But like so many of my mates, when they announced their pregnancies after I'd had Noah, I didn't want to give them any advice. And that sounded like I'm not going to be there for them. But I was like, listen, I'm not going to give you any advice because I feel like you're probably going to get enough anyway. But if you have any questions for me, feel free to ask. Because then I thought the ball's in your court.
I think, and that's it. And just checking in, like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Not like, have you given them a dummy yet? Like, fuck off. No one could, like, that's the stuff that you just don't need to have a conversation about, do you?
So, I know.
You've talked about having postnatal depression and massive anxiety. So that would have been even more heightened hearing from people saying.
Especially when the mother-in-law's opinion was different to my own mum's. So you've got one person telling you to do this.
Yeah.
And the other person telling you to do that. And you're like, one more person gives me an opinion or advice.
Yeah.
I'm going to lock myself in a cupboard and I'm never going to come out. Yeah. It's really overwhelming. And yeah, I guess I was thinking the other day. No, it was just yesterday. I was just thinking yesterday about how, like, those early days, my twin sister would come over on a Friday with my mum and they'd, like, do all our washing, change the bed sheets and clean the house and help us. And I just think... I can't actually believe what a state I was in. Like I was the equivalent of a zombie in an apocalypse who, like, I just cannot believe. It's only now I realise how bad it got. I don't think I realised at the time just how low I was. You know, even just today, driving in the sunshine, getting Noah out of the car, taking her swimming, I just feel in I feel in such a better place, but also I find I'm not letting things stress me out. Perhaps it's because I find it easier because, you know, she is more sturdy and I can sit her down on the mat and just go over and not worry about her crawling around. Like when they're so tiny, they're so fragile. You're so paranoid that you're going to hurt them or break them or anything. Do you know what I mean? And you're also just really quite new to it. So you haven't got the confidence you have.
I can just remember with my second walking into like a kid's party and it was just chaos and noise and it was almost like everybody was moving around me and I was just like, fuck, they don't know how I feel, they don't know how awful I feel, and I'm still smiling. And that's what's really weird, because I suppose you kind of think, oh, if I have depression I'll just be in bed and I won't be able to do anything. But actually you were still feeding, you were still getting up. Like, you might not have particularly showered, but you're still I don't know. And so you're like, well, I don't think I'm that bad. And then you look back and go, oh shit, no, that was
you just function, because you have to. Some they will stay in bed and they can't get out physically, cannot get out of bed. But because I'm a doer, I felt like I had no choice and I had to get things done and I had to just put on a brave face and just swallow it and accept that that's, you know, I've made my bed now and this is what my life is like. At the time, I didn't think it was going to ever get better and I was never going to be happy again, which isn't true. But at the I just could not see further than like what was in front of me right there and then. Mm. And yeah, it's a really horrible thing to experience, but it's crazy how your feelings change, like as quickly as your children do. Like Noah is changing and evolving and just it's blowing my mind. But also, like, I am finding it easier and I'm finding I've got more room to breathe and I'm not letting things and not allowing things to stress me out as much as they used to. But I also think it's a confidence thing. Not that I would have another one, but I imagine that with your second, you just feel so much more confident. Maybe not, but... Because you know.
It took me my third. My third was the one that I felt like I'd nailed it a bit. My second, I thought, oh, well, I should know what I'm doing. So I almost went overboard on like, I can be out and about and doing and all this stuff. And then was like, no, you twat, you need to lie down. Like, just sit down, stop. But by the third one, I was like, no, that's when I had the doula. And I was like, I know what, I need to recover. Like, this is a massive deal mentally, physically. But it's really hard to know that. With your first, you just can't. You can't. And you said, like, why did no one tell me? And you felt like everyone no one had told you how it feels. But it's really difficult, isn't it?
Because everybody says that same phrase. Oh, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's really hard, but it's totally worth it. And it's just quite a flippant phrase. Like, that.
This isn't worth
it. I should have said, okay, let's sit down over a coffee and can you break that down? Let's break it down over an hour conversation. Let's go deep with, what do you mean by it's the hardest thing you'll ever do? And maybe if you were to ask the right person, they would tell you the truth. But I was talking to Scummy Mummies the other day and Ellie said, she said, when you know, I was very careful about what I said to you when we did the podcast. I was very, you know, positive about everything. And I was, I guess in a way, I was trying to tell you that it was great. Like it was the best thing you'll ever do, but I didn't want to scare you because I was worried that you might not ever do it. And I think it's something that you should, I thought it was something that you should experience because look, you've got Noah now. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. And I appreciate that. But I don't want to scare parents. All I want to do is warn them that they might feel like I did because nobody actually told me. And since I wrote my book and since I was really honest on Instagram, so many people I know, not just loads of women on Instagram who I'm friends with, it's genuine best mates, my sister, all admitted to feeling low and feelings of despair and anxiety and stress and resentment. And they all admitted feeling like this during their pregnancy, during the first few months of having a baby, but they never told me at the time. And it's the same response. I said, why didn't you share how you were feeling? And all of them just said, because I was too worried about being judged, or I just thought, you know, I had to get on with it. And none of my friends, none of the other lot said how, like, that they were struggling. So it's just, it's such a, I don't know. I feel like it's such an expectation that we're supposed to kind of know what we're doing or just enjoy everything. And, you know, because biologically we can give birth and can grow a human and can.
It's guilt as well, isn't it? It's guilt because you're like, oh, and I think we're very aware now that we probably weren't 20, 30 years ago of how many people would like to have a baby and can't for whatever reason. And so then you're like, oh God, that makes you feel even worse. Like it's that you should be enjoying, relishing every minute. And people who are further down the line, really annoyingly, will say, oh, cherish it because, you know, this is the best bit, or enjoy every moment. I didn't. It's like, no, there's a reason you didn't, because it's really fucking hard. And you can't. Like, I don't think I know many people who didn't find it hard.
Same. It is really, like, it's like nothing I've ever experienced. And I know I bang this drum quite a lot, but it's been the hardest year of my life. Like, I feel like I've come out of the darkness totally. Like, I genuinely love spending time with Noah, and, you know, you get so much back once they're one. But like, just the first year, I really did struggle to enjoy the days, and it would be like a lot of people would say, oh, I've had a bad day today. It would vary. Like, you could have a good hour and then have a really bad hour, but then have another good hour. I didn't see it in days. I used to measure it in hours, because I'd wake up, maybe have a great hour, and then have like three really bad hours with Noah, and then the rest of the day would be great. But it would just be like such a roller coaster of emotions on it, like every day. It wouldn't just be a bad day. You would be up and down all the time.
And that roller coaster as well. I can remember I would text Doug and say like, oh yeah, no, we're having a great day, and it would be like 2 o'clock, can't wait to see you, and then he'd walk in the door literally a couple of hours later. I'd be like, fuck, like crying
with your eyes
yeah
I thought you were having a good day. It's so true,
and they're
it?
Like, they're so mind blown, like, but how is Bodge? Because Doug would be like, I don't know what I'm going to get, like, because I would be so erratic. And it was because it was just that, well, we had a good hour when I messaged you, I was feeling all right, and now I'm not.
I'm amazed Bodge didn't have a breakdown, if I'm honest with you, because, you know, there was me with postnatal depression. There was Noah, newborn, so not the easiest age to deal with. There was Baxter and Shirley, who were adjusting to life with a newborn. And Baxter's just a mizog. Like, he just constantly cries because he wants food or attention. And then Shirley's constantly barking out in the garden because she's seen a cat or something like that. So he's dealing with Shirley being naughty, me crying, Baxter moaning, Noah just like having shit up her back. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm amazed he's still here. I'm amazed he's still with me. I'm amazed he wants to marry me. He's been a rock, basically. I'm really lucky and fortunate to have somebody who's so present as a dad in those first few months. But he was also, I'm really fortunate to have somebody who works for themselves, so he was able to take longer And when I needed the help the most, he was able to take extra paternity. And he also like put his foot down and said, we're getting help. We are getting a doula, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. There was a point, wasn't there, where he was like, enough is enough. Yeah. Everyone was crying and he was like, right. So was that, and that was when you started to get help?
Yeah, it was him who did it, and him who forced me. I'll say,
well, yeah, because you were like, I can do this. So,
but he said, you're getting a therapist, you're having therapy, you need to speak to somebody, because you won't speak to me and I don't know what I can do. I'm trying so hard to do everything to help you get better, but it's not working. So he, you know, put me in touch with a therapist. He found a doula through our Emiliana, who did this mindful birthing course with us. She's recommended Siobhan, and Siobhan came round, and I was like, I feel like a failure. You feel like I should be able to do this on my own, but it really does take a village. And nobody would question if you're, you know, a family member or a friend came over to help you and stayed over the night. And so that's why it's so important to have people around you.
How were you to him? Because I felt massive rage, and it happened after all three kids. So I could have held it together in front of other people most of the time, apart from those times that you do just burst into tears. But towards Doug, I was just livid with him the whole time. So resentful.
Yeah, you do, though. You take it out on the person you love the most, but also they're with you and you're not seeing that many people. I mean, especially in lockdown, that's why as well we got a doula, because we couldn't actually have family over to help us because of the whole bubble thing, and everyone had their bubbles.
Yeah.
But I was the same as you. There was, you know, I was harbouring a lot of resentment because he was getting back to his old life and I wasn't. Yeah.
It feels like they're just having a lovely time, right?
Even though he did help a lot, but it was very much like he's going to the gym. He's going to work. He's at work having adult conversations and a chat by the coffee machine. And I'm sat here and one tit out, like haven't washed my hair in days, not even brushed my teeth, look like a mess. Noah's crying, you know.
When they're living a life that, you know, because you've lived that life, which is to be a grown-up where you haven't got a kid hanging off you.
Yeah. It's really difficult to not feel resentful.
Yeah, really difficult.
But it is short-lived. And if you understand that it's normal to feel that, and your partner can understand that,
that's a big one.
As well as physical recovery, it's, you know, you've gone through 9 months of growing a human, all kinds of strange things happening to your body and your mind, and then you have to go through birth, which for some can be a breeze, but for others it can be a really traumatic and long drawn out experience. And then after days of perhaps in labor, you're then given a baby, and the baby might be exclusively breastfeeding from you. Like, the partners honestly have to understand how much the mum has gone through, that just they need to step up more than ever before. And I feel so sorry for mums who are expected to just do everything because it's really hard. Like the most, I think it was my brother who, his mate was saying to him, because my brother's had a baby just before I did. And his mate was saying, my missus is at home all day with the kid. I get home, she hasn't even done me dinner. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just like that, it really bugs me. They have no idea. Like, do you know what, mate? Why don't I leave at 7 a.m., with you with the baby, and I'll come home at around 7 p.m.
See what's happened.
And let's just see how you've got on with the child and see how clean the house is and see if you've got dinner on the table for me. Because it's impossible. It is a full-time job. And I was so naive to not realize that before I had Noah. Yeah. I used to like mock my twin sister because on her Facebook page, she'd have full-time mum. Yeah. And I'd be like, ha, you take your kids to the park. Yeah. And I was so out of order to her. I feel really bad about that now. Because it's a full-time gig. Also, if you're a doer, then, you know, if you're not, the moment your baby goes down for a nap, you are, right, let's see how much I can do while she's down. I can put a wash on. I can tidy up. I can put unload the dishwasher, stack it again, make myself a bit bite to eat. You know, you just do all life admin, emails. You try and fit
so
much in.
There's always stuff to do. To the third one to go. As soon as I got them to sleep, I did just lie down. But only because I knew, right, this is a long haul and I'm going to have to try and get through the next year or whatever, however long it is. But you can't know that with your first. So actually, when someone says, you need to nap, you need to sleep when the baby's sleeping, you're just like, I can't. But when you can, and it does help, but it's really hard.
I think even just if you can lay down when the baby sleeps, because I found it impossible to sleep when Noah slept, because I'd either just had a
You're a bit hyper as well.
Yeah, I'd rather just had a shot of coffee because I needed it, or there was so much rallying around my mind where I was replying to, you know, everyone at the beginning is always messaging you, asking if you're okay, so you're replying to messages. And even if you can just lay down on the sofa, close your eyes, do a bit of meditation, or listen to something chilled on YouTube, or watch some trash TV, or watch a documentary, or just do anything, but just lay down.
Yeah.
Because I think that's more important than to just have that 30 minutes or half an hour, like 45 minutes or an hour, or however long they're sleeping for, just to have downtime, rest time, rather than running around trying to make sure the house looks perfect when it doesn't really matter.
And you said that you feel like you worked too much, because originally you were meant to go back to work after like 12 weeks, because you wouldn't have known.
I thought it felt like such a long time.
12 weeks. I know, but one of my team has just went on maternity leave in September. She was like, I'll probably be off 3 or 4 months. And we were like, I just was like, I can't say. No, you won't. So you just go, yep, okay, well, we'll speak in a bit. And it's like, she's not coming
You do
back.
Though, only until you have a baby do you realise. I remember saying to my boss, like, I'll probably, 3 months. 3 months. Because you think about it in terms of holiday. You go, so normally I'll take a week off work for a holiday. And like sometimes I'll take 2 weeks off for a holiday. Now, I've got 12 weeks. So like, it's not going to be a holiday, of course. I'm not trying to say that. But like, 12 weeks. Whenever I'm off work for 2 weeks, it feels like ages.
Long
12
time.
Weeks is such a long time. Yeah. But it flies.
Oh. Well, do you remember the 6 week summer holidays when you were a kid?
It feels like forever.
Is so long. And then
genuinely
12.
Thought 12 weeks would be enough. Yeah. My one regret, there's only one regret I have since having Noah. And my one regret is that I didn't stop work fully and just be present and be a mum.
Because your work is also social media and stuff, right? So then it's very hard, I imagine, to just go, right, I'm off.
Yeah, and I'm always worried about money. So because I wasn't getting paid any maternity leave from Virgin Radio, I thought, right, I have to carry on the brand stuff on Instagram. So I have to keep working and filming and editing and uploading and post, you know, doing all this stuff that comes with it. And I just regret taking on so much when Noah was so little, because it just meant that I wasn't present enough. And I was always worrying about work when she went to bed. So then I never got any downtime.
No.
And then it meant that Bodge and I, you know, our relationship got pushed to the bottom of that priority pile. Yeah. And we couldn't do anything. You know, we've been on 2 date nights on our own in a year.
Wow.
Two.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fair. And I just regret not having that time with her, that precious. I mean, obviously, I think because I found the first 9 months so incredibly challenging, and I felt, you know, all kinds of emotions, that it didn't feel like any time I did spend with Noah was kind of quality time, because my mind wasn't there. I was out of my mind. I was, you know, the feelings of desperation and, you know, loneliness, even though I had so many people rallying around me, I couldn't really... You know, there wasn't a time where I spent with Noah where I felt happy enough. Do you know what I mean? And then at 9 months, when finally I started to feel better, I was back at work. I was starting to write the book. And so everything just kind of piled on top of me. So that's why I decided to take a break from radio.
You've got a wedding coming up as well. So
yeah,
we don't just swap one. You just add that. Take one out. Add one. Well, at least you're not just adding something else in.
No, do you know what it is? The wedding, we haven't even done much in terms of prep. So that's what's going to take priority now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break from radio because I just find it all too much at the minute. And my boss has been so kind and supportive and said the door at Virgin is always open when I want to go back.
Amazing.
But right now, there's lots of other things I want to focus on. What the first and most important thing is Noah.
Yeah.
I want to be present and I want to enjoy some days with Noah before she starts nursery. Like, I want to go on mum and daughter days out.
Yeah.
Like, I want to take her to the science museum, or, you know, take her down to Beckenham. Like, it's quite a long way to my parents, but like, take her to see my parents for the day and not be worrying, like, because I can't do that at the minute with Virgin, because I have her in the mornings and then my day starts at 1 o'clock with Virgin.
Well,
so it's just impossible.
Do you feel relieved now you've made that decision?
Huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. So I feel like,
so that's good.
When
you
I
know
stop,
it's right then.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the day I stop working on Virgin, even though they were really flexible with me and I was only doing 3 days a week, it was kind of those 3 days I used to find the hardest, because Bodge obviously going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'd have Noah from the moment she woke up until 1 o'clock when she went to sleep. And then as soon as she went down, I was on, you know, a Zoom call to my producer. We'd chat about the show. At 1:45, I'd have 15 minutes to get ready, leave the house. Childcare would arrive, Bodgy's mum. And then I'd go get on the train to work, get there at 3, go through all the music, grab a coffee. And then I wouldn't get home till 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. So it's like half day with Noah, then the radio. And I would, honestly, by, you know, coming home at 8 and just being like, wow, that was a long day, but 3 days a week. And then that meant Thursday, my day with Noah, it was fine, but like, is the only day I really got with her, and I just feel so exhausted. Mm. So I just want to be more present, and I want to spend some quality time with her. And we're still going to have childcare on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah, so that I can do the jobs I need to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, Bodge and I are doing another podcast, and we've been trying to get off the ground for like a year, and we haven't had time because of everything else that's going on. Yeah. So that's going to, you know, take priority as well.
I suppose as well, when you've got a job that is desirable, like we spoke with Annie Mack, and she was saying when she had her first kid, she went back to work quite quickly because she was like, you in this kind of job, you don't know who else is queuing up behind you, or you know that there mm-hmm. are loads of people queuing up behind yeah. you. So it doesn't feel that safe. So almost you make that decision like, I've got to go back. And yeah. now you've had a bit of time to go, actually, is this what I want to do? You mm-hmm. can make a decision, but that's really difficult. And I think probably loads of yeah. women feel like that with work. Like, oh, if I'm not there, I'll get replaced. Uh-huh.
I imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
And also you are told that once you go back to work, you'll feel better, you'll feel more like you. Yep. You will have some you time, you'll get to miss your child so that you're really excited to go back and see them, and it'll make you a better parent. And I think I had to go back to Virgin to test the water to see if that did make me happier, because I was quite miserable for the first 9 months. So I was like, oh, maybe once I go back to work,
yeah.
that's when I'll feel better about everything. And in a way, like, I did love getting out of the house and being away from Noah and just being Kate the radio DJ rather than Kate the mum. And I loved having time apart from her. And I obviously love the buzz of live radio, and I work in such a great part of London in a great building with really nice people. But I was there, and I was going through the motions, and I was doing my show and coming home, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm just not happy. I think I just need a break from this and I want to focus on other projects. And I just want more days with Noah that are less like, oh, now I've got a day with Noah, but I'm absolutely exhausted and I've still got a million things on my to-do list.
Yeah.
You know? I'm only going to do this once, Steph, so I just want to enjoy it while I can, while she's still this young.
Yeah.
And because the next thing, she'll be off to nursery and then school, and then like, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But I heard you say that you feel guilty about her not being at nursery, but do you know what? They just sit like puddings at this point, like, you know, or they toddle about, but they don't. I think you said you feel guilty that she's not socializing with other kids.
Yeah.
But she's got you, and she's got the people you see. And
I know, but we were swimming this morning and this mum came in with her little boy, and he was like exactly the same height as Noah. In fact, he was 18 months old,
yeah.
but and same. So it made me realize how tall Noah is, unless he's just a really short little yeah. kid. But she saw him and she was so happy to see him. Never seen him in his life, right? In her life. She waved at him and then she crawled over, dragging her back leg like she'd just been shot. She's honestly, her crawl is so funny. She looks like she's crawling out the trenches. Mm-hmm. She crawled over to him and she started touching his belly button, and he was like walking around her and she was like shuffling around in her bum, really laughing. Mm. And I was like, oh, I love the fact that she just loves babies and she loves being around yeah, other yeah. babies. And it won't be long until she does start nursery.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was an element of guilt when I decided to defer her play, because I just didn't feel like she was ready.
Yeah.
Like, because she wasn't walking and she's still not walking. And I just, yeah, it just didn't feel right. And I had to go with my gut. I thought, now is not the time. I think she'll be ready when she's 18 months. So I am trying to see, you know, this is as well another reason why I'm leaving Virgin as well, because I want time to go and hang out with my friends and the babies that are Noah's age so that she can socialize with other kids.
We've spoken to loads of women and they've all talked about mum guilt, and I wish you could take it away, because it's like, it's such a, and it makes you make decisions that may not even be the right ones, or because you're constantly torturing yourself about what you should be doing. And actually everyone's doing as much as they can. Like,
yeah, you can't compare yourself to others. You know, the whole nursery thing, my friend was like, why are you putting her in nursery anyway? I was like, oh, because I thought everyone did it once.
Yeah.
Such a dumbass. She was like, why are you, do you need to send her to nursery? And I said, no. She said, why are you doing it then? I was like, isn't that what everyone does now? Doesn't everyone send their babies to nursery at one? I thought that's what we had to do. She said, no, most people do it because they need to go to work. Yeah. But you don't need to, because you're only doing 3 days a week and you've got Bodge's mum twice a week and you've got babysitter the other day. So I don't get it. And I was like, oh, okay. But you just do. You kind of just follow. You're like a sheep. Like, oh, that's what they're doing. So that's what we must
do. Yeah.
But also everyone goes, oh, you've got to get their names down for nursery. Got to get their names down for nursery way in advance. So then you're like, oh, so the expectation is I'm going to send her to nursery. Yeah. Whereas I went playgroup when I was three and I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? Same. That's what my mum did with me. I don't know what she did on the other days, just palmed me around people. I'm one of six. So it was probably like, oh, you can go with that one. That one's a bit older. They'll look after you. Yeah. But I think, and also mums who do, or parents who put their kids into nursery, would also kind of justify it with like, oh, they're so sociable, they love it at nursery, they love it. It's like, well, actually, they probably would also like it at home with you. Like mine all went to nursery and I was working, and actually Frank was the only one that I had his name down before he was born, because I was running the business and I was like, I know I'm going to need something, a couple of days by the time he's organized. 11 months. Yeah, but I didn't do the other two. But people, it's like that, oh yeah, no, it's they love it because they have to say that, because then it makes them feel better about what they've done. But none of it.
So funny you say that. I was in, where was I, and these two women were talking, I took Noah to a little soft play thing the other day, and I was just playing with her with these like blocks and stuff, and I heard these two women talking about nursery. And she was like, is he enjoying nursery? And she was like, oh, he loves it. I was like, your kid can't even speak. How do you know he loves it?
He laps up the pasta.
He wasn't even talking. I was like, well, does he come home and say, I love that, mum? Yeah. No, he doesn't. He can't even speak. But she was like, he loves it. She went, and he's learned so much. Like, he's learned this and he's learned that. Anyway, they were having this conversation and she was like, oh, yeah, my son loves it too. And he's actually learning now to do this and do that. And then I started feeling so guilty. I came home and I said to Bodge, I feel bad. But it does. It makes you think,
bullshit.
Oh, wow, they've learned to do bullshit. This. They're learning to do this. But the thing is, I feel like a bloody nursery teacher. Like, honestly, when I'm at home with Noah, I am going through animals with her.
A bit hard. Like
I'm like counting with her. Yeah. Like, I say, where's your nose? She points to her nose now. Where's your head? She points to her head. Age. Like, I'm teaching her stuff. Yeah. Like, I am doing my best at home. And that's perfectly fine. And there's the baby club on TV as well. And I do go to, I said I'd never do it. I never thought I'd be that person. But I take her to like a parent and baby group on a Thursday. Yeah. And there's like songs in a circle. And then they go, she goes on like a baby trapeze swing, and a ball pit, and there's a climbing like wall, and it's insane. She loves it, and I love it because she loves it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I can't actually believe I'm singing the wheels on the bus here in a circle.
Yeah. You're like, I used to be someone. It's like,
I used to DJ in Ibiza. I was cool, and now I am loving wheels on the bus at soft play. What's happening?
Mine, the bobbin up, was always my favorite because the actions are just great.
That's one of her favourites. When we sing One the Bobbin, she does this. She rubs her little hands together. She's so cute. But it's great. Like, I love doing things like that with her. And that's enough at the moment. Yeah. And I'm sure she's going to be fine.
She is going to be fine. She's not going to be stunted.
But you do.
I know.
You feel guilty. And then other women feel guilty for sending their kids to nursery because they've got to go to work. It's like,
whichever you do, I don't think there's a win. Because if you completely stayed at home, you'd probably go a bit mad. I mean, you might go a bit mad, but also you'd feel like you needed to do everything so amazingly because you've devoted. I know women who've done that and then they feel like they've got to get it so right because they've given up that career or they've paused that career and so they're at home. But equally, if you're working, it's basically you can't win. And you'll be doing a better job than you will ever give yourself credit for sure.
Yeah. My worry is that she's spending a lot of time with me and that she's getting a little bit clingy. That's my only
worry. Even if she is, she won't be 16 and still like holding on to you desperately. She won't.
Can you imagine if she was there? It'd be really funny.
And they change. And I used to really torture myself that I'd ruined my kids when they were like Noah's age. Like if they did something or they smacked another kid or, you know, like pushed someone over or they wouldn't share, you're like, oh God, they're going to be this awful human. And they're not. And they're pretty minical, right? They're
It's funny, isn't it, how they all have these behaviours.
Yeah. It's really difficult. I loved what you said about holidays and not going on holiday with other people. You're just quite firm. You're like, no.
Sorry, friends. But I mean, they've all got my book. None of them have mentioned that bit. But they must understand how I feel. Like I said to Bodge, literally 2 days ago, we're planning our honeymoon and we're going to France. We're taking Noah and the dogs to France. And we were looking at this. We were looking at like Airbnbs, and we found this Airbnb that was serious. It was so expensive. But if there were like 20 of you, it would be affordable. And Boris said, we'll get a group of us to go. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? I just want to go with adults and Noah. And he's like, that's not fair. And I was like, why? He was like, you can't take Noah, but then expect our friends with their kids not to bring theirs. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. So do we have to do holidays with children? Do you know what it is? I'm still trying to hang on to that bit of me that was like, you know, before Noah, obviously I never went on holiday with anyone with kids. It was just adults only. And I really enjoyed those kind of holidays. But I don't think I'd find it enjoyable going on a holiday with loads of parents and kids. I know I wouldn't find it enjoyable because I've spent days with other parents and kids, you know, like when you're just at a party or a gathering and you're like, well, imagine if we're on holiday, there's lots of kids, lots of different ages, lots of different dynamics, lots of different wants and needs, tantrums. I just don't think, I mean, tell me how many holidays you've been on with other kids.
We did it. We did it when I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. I mean, that was already mental. Going on a plane with that is awful, awful, dreadful. We've got crazy pictures of us just looking
good experience.
So strung out and just shit everywhere, like all our rice cakes. And anyway, we went away with, and it was Doug's two best mates and their wives and kids. But all the kids were slightly different ages. There was like a 6-month-old who was just still only feeding milk. And then there was my two. And then someone else had like a 10-month-old. And the first night was amazing because we were like, yeah, we can still do this. We can still go on holiday and drink heavily. And then the rest of it was just a disaster because we had a villa which had marble everywhere. So every time one kid cried, the kids cried. Everyone was on slightly different like ages, so when they fed or when they slept, so it was all different. And also all the couples were quite tense because we all had small kids, so it's not like everyone was like having a lovely time and really in love. And like Doug and I would be in our room going fucking at each other, and then you'd have to open the door and be like, hi guys, everyone having a good time? No,
that sounds awful. It really did.
It was, and we can talk about it. But
yeah, now you can talk about it. Yeah. Why is the first night of every holiday always great? Like we flew to Portugal and it was the dream flight. And on the first night, we took Noah out. She slept in her pram and we had dinner. We were like, "This is great.
We can do this.
We'll do this every night." She never did that again for the rest of the holiday.
Yeah,
never did it again. Was up trying to rip our cutlery off the table, like crying. Didn't want to be in her pram, and I was just like, "This is not fun."
Yeah,
you have to just accept that holidays are different and they're a different ball game. And maybe I will have to get used to the idea of going away with my friends. All of them went to this caravan park. There must have been 40 of them.
Oh my God.
Parents and like 20 kids.
Yeah.
Ranging from naught to like 15.
Bloody hell.
I mean, imagine. Mm. And they said, just come, it'll be a laugh. And I had to just be honest and say, it's just not for me. I love you all.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about tomorrow. There's 20 of us. All girls, we're all going out for my mate's 40th and we're going for a brunch, a boozy brunch.
Perfect.
And it's just the girls. And I was like, that's how I want to hang out with you. I much prefer seeing my mates when it's just us and we're not trying to, like even just going to visit my friend's new baby the other day. He's gorgeous. He's only a few months old. But I had drove to hers. I thought Noah would nap. She didn't. Shirley vomited in the car because I took the dogs with me. Obviously I don't leave them at home ever, so I took the dogs with me as well. Shirley puked up in the car all over the brand new car seat. 2 minutes. It took an hour to get there. 2 minutes. Shirley, as we were arriving, she vomited. Noah fell asleep in the last, I think, 8 minutes of the journey. And I was like, oh, shit.
And your heart's going.
I know. So then Noah's, luckily, because she was asleep when we arrived, I was able to clean the stick up and I was able to get the dogs in, the pram in, a load of stuff that I bought, like baby stuff for my friend's new baby, got them all in, got her out the car, in her car seat, thinking she'll stay asleep. She didn't. She woke up straight away because I put the car seat on the ground. And I didn't have the actual handle.
Yeah.
It kind of like, I didn't have it upright. So she fell forward in the car seat. Thankfully, she was strapped in.
Yeah.
But she shit herself and woke up and was like, what the fuck's going on? I'm trying to have a sleep here.
Just
and
I was arrive. Like,
and then obviously my friend's got her newborn and she's got a dog. And then I've got my two. I'm trying to give Noah her lunch, which is a peanut butter sandwich. She sat on the floor and the dogs are all trying to nick it. And then my mate's trying to feed her little boy who's crying. And she's like, oh, hang on, I need to give him a bottle. And then we're trying to order breakfast. It took us ages to even, I said, let's just get brunch. I don't want you cooking. So I got some delivery brunch delivered to the house.
Yeah.
And I was like, you eat yours while I hold the baby. And so I held her little baby while she had the brunch. And it was free.
So
and
relaxing.
Then I said, right, no one needs to sleep. I was like, she hasn't slept. Like, it's her lunchtime nap.
Yeah.
So we took them out for a walk. I was like, she'll sleep in the pram. An hour we were out for, she didn't fall asleep. And I was like, oh, she'll sleep in the car on the way home, but I have to get home before like 4 o'clock. Otherwise, it's a danger nap, isn't it?
Yeah.
She didn't sleep in the car on the way home. Mm-hmm. And she was getting really ratty. And so it was all in all, I got home and I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
I was like, that wasn't fun. I loved meeting my kid's baby. Yeah. I loved giving her a hug. It was really nice. But I felt like I couldn't really focus on a conversation with my friend either.
No.
It was really, you know, I really wanted to sit down and talk to her about how she was doing because she's struggling a bit.
Yeah.
And how, you know, I wanted us to just, you know, have that. But the dogs were all running. When we took them out for a walk as well, the three dogs were all trying to do their different thing. One of them went into the mud. The other ran away. Like, there was just so much to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Noah's mittens got caught up in the pram wheel and ripped. It was, my friend bought her these beautiful mittens and they ripped. Then Noah wouldn't sleep and I was trying to put the snooze shade over and she was crying. And I was like, fuck it. Do you know what? You're not sleeping. Just leave it. Let's stop forcing it. And then her baby was crying on the way home because he was hungry. And she was like, let's just stop. And she was like, no, I can't because I'm bottle feeding. I just got to get him back. And I was like, oh God. It's like, was it worth it? Like, really, was it worth it? Like, it would be better to do things just without the, like, I should have just left the Noah and the dogs at home on a Friday, but I really wanted to see her baby and I couldn't fit any other time in. So you just learn, don't you? And you just.
Next time. Yeah, but like I've got, so my group, there's six of us and one of them still hasn't met Frank and he's 4 and a half because when we get together, and also he's my third, everyone's less interested.
Oh my God.
But it's become a running joke. So she's like, well, I'll probably see him at his graduation or whatever. But I quite like it because when I see her, it's about us. It's about my friendship with my girl. They live in Gloucestershire. They're 2 hours away. We don't, or can't trek about that. Everyone, they've got teenagers, most of them. Like, we've all got kids at different ages. But we get, like, we're going to Marbella in September, and because we're all 40 in lockdown. And it's like, that's my focus with those lot is my friendship with them. And we do still obviously catch up on how are the kids and all that stuff. And everyone's got different crap going on all the time. But yeah, I'm not bothered because she feels really bad and she'll always mention it. And she'll come, and I'm like, I honestly don't care. I know that you would be there if I need you. I know if you, but Frank,
and perhaps it'd be different if there wasn't social media, but you know, FaceTime and stuff like that. She FaceTimed him.
They feel like they've seen them. But I genuinely don't care.
No, I bet you don't. I believe you that you don't care. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's your third.
They met the first two.
But also it's so important to have that time, adult time and conversations that aren't just about kids. And I find when you do, even though I want Noah to socialise with other babies, I actually find that when you're on a play day, you tend to just speak about the babies and the kids. It's
you never finish a sentence, you don't. Do you? You almost go away and go, oh, fuck, I didn't tell about this massive thing that happened.
But it's important to have those like just adult conversations and nights out or lunches without the babies and kids where you can.
And brunch is the best kind because you don't even need to have a late night.
It's 12 till 4.
And you miss all the.
Be home by 5. Oh. I can drunkenly bath. No, I'm joking. I can see her before she goes to bed. And do you know what I mean?
Like,
It's the best kind because even if I've got a little bit of a hangover, I'll have a hangover tomorrow night and then I'll be fine on Sunday.
It's just that chaos. And I imagine if you could put a heart machine on when that stuff's going on, can you imagine what you'd see though?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down.
So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I spilled a pint of water just before this over a load of pictures that are on my floor because they're meant to have gone on the wall. And so then you're like, because I haven't put them on the wall. So you're like torturing yourself. And I walk around the house just going, that still needs to be done. Oh, and that, and I haven't ordered that thing. And that rush of like
stresses you out. See, Bodge, I don't know if Doug's the same, but he's like, let it go. What? It doesn't matter that's broken. It doesn't matter that the plinth above the fridge freezer hasn't been put back on, where we had to have it taken off to get the fridge out because we had mice. Yes, it fucking does, Bodge, right? The plinth has been like literally just laying flat and there's a gap above the fridge. I was like, why isn't that back on? Who hasn't screwed that in?
And they don't see it, so then they don't feel the need to do it.
He could live with the plinth like that and the skylights as they are and the washing machine being
animal.
Just live like forever. He's like, nothing is that important. It's really not that important. I was like, yes, it is actually. And I always remind him, a tidy home is a happy home.
But we could probably do with taking a bit of their
mindset. Oh, you're so right. We have to take their advice as well because they are, in some ways, right. It doesn't matter really in the grand scheme of things. What matters is Noah being okay and fed and watered and being put, you know what I mean? All of that and us being okay. Like, we've definitely gone through the rockiest year of our relationship so far. And it's not, you know, sometimes I guess once you've had the kids and you got married and you've moved house and you're going through a rocky patch, but you're not quite sure why, that could be a worry. It's still a worry.
Yeah.
Because we're getting married. Yeah. I'm like, oh, are we okay? Or is it just because we've had a kid? And when you look back at the last 2 years of our life, we sold our flat and moved straight into this house and then started renovating like 2 days later. And we were living here while we had it renovated. And then as soon as renovations were done, Noah came along. Like, they finished the day before she came along. So then Noah came along. And as soon as I was coming out of the postnatal depression around 9 months, I was back at work and starting to write the book. And now the book's out and now I'm starting to plan the wedding. And I said to Bodge, I just think we've just gone through quite a lot of big life events in one go. So that's probably why we're so...
You just feel disconnected, right? Like, it's that massively. Thing where you're like... And also you talked about how you loved your life before you had Noah. And you love Bodge, you love being together, you love the life that you had together. So it's really hard because it is very different. Yeah. And it takes a while to work out what that now looks like because it is different. And the things that would have given you joy and the things that would have connected you and you would have laughed. I can remember having phases where I was like, I don't think I've laughed with you for months. I've just kind of growled at you a bit.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible. The person you love, you're like, what's happened to us?
And
like,
the whole point of having a baby was because we love each other.
Yeah, and that's what you have to remind yourself.
But you are doing all the right, like, you're doing counselling and stuff, and you've noticed it. I think lots of people just probably don't even, like, you want that back or you want that. And I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, we do. And I think, and I keep saying to Bart, even yesterday, he was like, stop trying to do too much in a day. Because he said, "What? Tell me what you got on today." And I said, well, I'm going to the dentist and then I've got to go over to Hackney to sign some books for this giveaway that I'm doing, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to go to an event. And he was like, just don't go to the event. And I said, don't tell me what to do. And he was like, it's too much in a day for you, I think. Anyway, I didn't go to the event. I took his advice and I feel much better for it because I was sitting at home last night eating ice cream and I was like, I'm so happy.
That's the best feeling.
I'm so happy I didn't have to get dressed. And then he said, have you got a busy day today? And I was like, no, just swimming 9 till 10, podcast 10:30 till 11:30, then filming 12 till 4. Then I'm getting my nails done 5 till 6, and then a spray tan 6 till 7, and then I'm getting my hair done 7. But I was like, a lot of that self-care though, babe, because he rolled his eyes. I was like, no, hang on, nails, tan, hair,
but
self-care.
But it's that moving from one thing to another. I'm exactly the same. And then getting to the end of the day and being like, ugh.
He was like, too many things in a day, Lola. And I was like, yeah, I know. But
you
see, yesterday when he said, have you got a busy day? And he was like, just stop doing too much. And I said, once I leave Virgin Bodge, all of this stuff will be spread out across 5 days instead of me trying to squeeze it in on a Thursday or a Friday. So just give me, can you just lay off me until next week? So if I'm still manic and doing all these things once I leave Virgin, then you'll have a point. Yeah. But I am really trying to help myself, you know, like I am trying to do things to make my life a lot less stressed. So he needs to kind of give me some slack, but he's been great.
And that will be, that sounds like the amount of time your head, but you do, even just in your head, you must be constantly thinking about your show when you've got a show like yours.
Yeah.
So that is a huge thing that will be coming out of your pot. You just need to not add loads more in.
Yeah.
Go, oh, well, now I'm free to
That's why he said, should we just not start our podcast straight away? Should we just see,
just
let you have
a bit?
Yeah. Because I'm doing a few TV things, which are taking up time. So kind of replace. So he's like, let's just stop with the podcast prep for now and just get the wedding out of the way. Because he was like, I think once the wedding's out of the way, that would be a good time to start it. And he's actually right.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to plan for the wedding. So let's just do that.
Yeah. And there's no one on your back going, you need to do a podcast. It's you're in control.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for speaking to me. I won't take up any more of your time as you need to. But thank you. And I'm glad you're feeling better than you were. But yeah, you just look after yourself because she's still
you
tiny.
You too. You've got 3. Jeez.
Yeah, but I'm not in that first year or two, mate.
Yeah, but you've still got 3. I mean, I've got 3.
Yeah.
If you count the fur babies.
Yeah. Barking at the cats.
Yeah. We're taking them all on our honeymoon. People think we're mental. But
Are you doing something on your own first?
Yeah, we're doing Lake Como for 5 nights.
Oh.
Just us two.
Can you imagine?
We were planning it the other day and I was like, we can actually go for a siesta and then wake up and go and have a cocktail at sunset.
Yeah.
I was like, we can like go out for a whole meal and not worry about anyone waking up throughout the meal.
You won't know
trying
yourself.
To steal our food. I was like, this is going to be the best ever.
What a start. When we had kids your age, we would go for a weekend away and we'd get there and we would like shut the curtains, close off, into bed for a nap. Like it was be like,
love
are
it.
You having sexy time? It's like, no. What
no,
is the podcast that you guys are going to do? You and Bodge?
Oh, it's, I don't know if I should tell you.
Oh, okay. Don't.
I mean, there's no harm in me telling you, I guess. It's nothing that hasn't been done before. It is called Kate and Bodge Have a Lot on Their Plates. Basically, Bodge is a really good cook and he cooks for me most nights. Mm. And everyone's like, oh, can I have the recipe for that? So we're doing it's like in our kitchen once a week, Bodge cooks. I'm just sat there observing, critiquing, tasting and drinking wine. And we're going to, it's like kind of another couple's podcast, but with an added twist of we make something every week. We buy our ingredients from somewhere different every week. There is a story behind what we're cooking and why we're cooking it. And there's going to be loads of extra fun bits thrown in there. But it will be just like kind of joining us for dinner once a week. So we talk about our lives and what's going on. And
awesome.
Hence the name, A Lot on Their Plate.
Nice. I like, that's exciting.
Yay.
And
really
also time for the two of you to like, we had Rosie Ramsey on and she was like, she said that doing the podcast is one of the best things they've ever done.
Because it's like couples therapy for them every week.
Because they have time
every week
that they otherwise don't have.
I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, for me, just that like glass of wine while I'm watching him cook and we're just chatting.
And then eating.
Yeah. And then eating the food. And wow. And then I said, why don't I be in charge of dessert every week? But like, I'll surprise you 1 week, I'll actually make something. Maybe I'll burn it, but who knows? Because I'm rubbish in the kitchen. But he was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. And I was like, I think that's a good idea. I'm in charge of dessert every week and I surprise you. So it will be a good fun thing to go out and look for something that you've never had before. He's not keen on the idea because I know he thinks that I'm just going to fuck it up. But whatever, it's
well,
happening.
Well, that'll make for entertainment.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll kick off in June.
Well, thank you so much and good luck with your wedding as well.
Oh, thanks, Steph. I'm very excited to get married.
A massive thank you to Kate for her time, especially during what was a crazy busy week. And yeah, I hope she's managing to enjoy doing slightly less and not filling the gaps, because that is the other thing that I find lots of us tend to do. But I think you can kind of see her relief or excitement Especially Noah's just started walking and he's excited by trees and trains and all those lush things at that age, they've sort of just turned one, doing. And hopefully you start to get a bit more sleep and your brain just feels a bit more like your own. So that's all, yeah, good. And anyone who is in it in the way that Kate describes, just know that your head won't always feel like that. And Kate describes a few ways she got help that might be options for you, but it will be okay. I think it's important that we keep telling each other that. Coming up on the podcast, we have an episode on sex in long-term relationships, which was fascinating. And also Matthew Frey, who's the author of This Is How Your Marriage Ends. I've just finished his book and it's also bloody fascinating. It's led to some really big conversations with Doug. We're 14 years in to, I think it's this year, I think we're 14 years this year married, but we're still navigating how to hold it together. And he talks about that you basically do need to keep bringing yourself back together. It's a constant. It's not like you do it and you've got it nailed. So that's coming up soon. And I'd love to hear from you if you've got anything to add or ask on relationships or sex or any of the other topics we might cover. You can DM me on Instagram or email podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com. And if you've enjoyed this, I would hugely appreciate it if you would rate or review the podcast, subscribe, and then you'll get the notification when we release a new episode. And just thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a good week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.